This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بيهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Okay, so today inshallah we're going to start a little differently than we have in the past. I want you to identify for me certain things on this particular slide. So what's this here? This one down in the bottom left corner. That's a telescope. What's that used for? Seeing stars. Seeing objects that are far away. So you need to magnify those objects that are at a distance so that you can see them. All right, this one here in the middle, what's this? That's a microscope. What do they use a microscope for? Right, so things that couldn't normally be seen by the human eye. They're too small, and you put them under that microscope so that you can see it. All right, and some of you have these things on here. What are those? Bifocals? Well, not necessarily. They're glasses. All right. And they're used for what? They can be close or far. So sometimes a person may look at something that is close, but their vision does not allow them to focus on that which is close. So they need the glasses to help them. Or from a distance, similarly. All right. Top left corner. What's that? It's an X-ray. And what is an X-ray machine used for? So it's to see beyond barriers, right? So something may be in the way. You're looking at your hand, but you can't see what's happening inside of it. The X-ray machine allows that to happen. Now, the bottom right corner, can you tell what that is? Huh? Okay, so that's ultrasound. And what is that used for? Not just to see babies.
To detect the growth.
Okay, so to see inside the body, what's the difference between that and the X-ray machine? So you can see tissue. Okay. All right, good. So what name do you think we're covering today? Al-Basir. Naam, Al-Basir. All right? So you can look. How's Al-Basir spelled? Naam? Anybody? Yes? Okay, but the Alif and Lam first. Okay, right. Al-Basir. Al-Basir, all right? And that means the all-seeing. So as you can see, we just covered objects that people use to do what?
See.
To see. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't need any of those. He sees without a telescope or a microscope. Those things that are too small for you to see, He sees them. Things that are too far away, too distant from you, He sees them. His sight is perfect. He doesn't need glasses like we do. All right? X-rays and all of that. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on inside of your body. Allah azza wa jal sees all of that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-basir. He is al-basir. Here are questions for today. Father Doctor.
Questions for lesson 6. How many times has the name Al-Basir been mentioned in the Quran? What is the relationship between Allah's name Al-Basir and the level of Ihsan? How can we thank Allah for giving us sight? Do those who intentionally look at impermissible things get one look? Name three objectives for which the name...
You understand question, the third question? How can we thank Allah for giving us sight? Do those who intentionally look at impermissible things get one look? Oh. What's that mean?
Sometimes you see something that you shouldn't, and you just kind of turn away. That's so, one look. But if you
sometimes you see something that you shouldn't see. Okay, keep going.
So you turn away.
Okay, turn away.
Uh-huh. But if you intentionally look, you don't get that one look. Say, okay, I'm
gonna... But if you... Well, no, some people say, well, they just don't blink. So they look real long. Because that's the one look. You've heard that before, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. No, it's actually pretty...
I actually told the guy about his look, and he just kept it on there.
Yeah. Play. Naam, Sheikh.
Name three objectives for which the name Al-Basir has been mentioned in the Qur'an.
Naam. All right. So these are our questions for today. Bidnillahi ta'ala, you'll be able to answer them with confidence by the end of this lesson, inshallah ta'ala. As you know, before we begin actually talking about the name in detail, we like to first establish that it is in fact a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that can only be done through revelation. So we don't affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, for example, a nadir. Right? A nadir means the one who looks. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam affirmed that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he looks. But he didn't affirm for him the name an nadir. So we don't either. We understand this point? We only affirm the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed for himself in his book on the tongue of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So here we're going to go through some of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself Al-Basir, or describes himself as being Basir. Because sometimes it comes in the Quran with the Aleph and Lam in front, Al-Basir. And sometimes it comes without the Aleph and the Lam in front. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as being Basir. Or he describes himself as being basirun bil ibad, basirun bidunubi ibadihi, and so forth. Alright, so we're going to look at that right now. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Now,
in the very last verse of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah, translation of the meaning, says, verily, indeed, Allah knows the unseen of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is the all-seer of what you do.
Yes, he is the all-seer. He sees all that you do, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I want you to let these verses, we're not going to talk a lot about what they mean, because they're pretty clear. But I want you to ponder what it means to you. Not what the tafsir of the ayat is, but when you understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that He is the one who sees everything that you do, how should that affect you? How should that affect your behavior? How should that affect your relationships? How should that affect who you take as a companion? How should that affect what you look at on the internet? And I'm not just talking about the, you know, X-rated stuff. I'm saying the fact that you spend time just reading gossip and things that you shouldn't be reading, things that you shouldn't look at, pictures, films, whatever it may be. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-seer of what you do. Likewise, when you worship Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, and He sees that, and He is watching you. How should that affect your behavior? How should that affect your worship? Think about that as you read these ayat. Read that ayat again, please.
Indeed, without a doubt, verily, Allah knows the unseen of the heavens and the earth.
All right, let's stop there for a second, very quickly. What's the significance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here saying that he knows the unseen of the heavens and the earth? And then he says, and he is the seer of what you do. He sees that which you do not see. Right.
Past, present, future. Events.
Past, present, future. Okay. The unseen. What are some of the things from the unseen? Yeah. Angels. Jinn. The torment of the grave. Allahu Akbar. Nah. All of that is from the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows all of that. And on top of that, yani, if Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the unseen, then what will we say about that which is seen? Then clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that and he sees that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you that there's nothing that escapes him. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ وَاللَّهُ يَقْضِي بِالْحَقِّ وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَقْضُونَ بِشَيْءٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Now,
he knows, that is, Allah knows the quick sneaking look of the eye and what the heart conceals.
That's good, and I'm glad you explained that. Furtive means something that is done secretly, but because a person feels guilty about it. So kha'inat al-a'yun is that glance, that look that a person takes. They don't want anybody else to see what they're looking at. He puts on the Terminator shades in the summertime so that when his friends are around him, they can't really see what he's doing. Wallahi azza wa jalla ya'lamu kha'inat al-a'yun. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he knows that secret glance that a person takes and what the heart conceals. Nah, Father Shaykh.
Allah judges with justice while those whom they call upon, they invoke, those who they call upon besides him cannot judge with anything. It is Allah who is the hearing, the seeing.
So, a judge, let's look at Al-Qadha. A judge judges based on what? What did the Prophet ﷺ say when a person came to him complaining that someone else had infringed upon their rights? He said, "Inni aqdi ala nahwun mimma asma." I judge based off of what I hear. So whoever has taken from the rights of his brother, whoever has taken from the rights of his brother, the end of the hadith, I can't remember right now. The point of the hadith and the point of me mentioning hadith here is that that does not escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he is only taking a piece of the fire. He's only taking a piece of the fire. If you take something from your brother that doesn't belong to you, and you go, even if you go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet alayhi salam only knows from the unseen that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him. So certain things about future events and so forth. Other than that, the Prophet alayhi salam doesn't know. He is not al-alim al-khabir. Allah azza wa jalla is al-alim al-khabir. So the Prophet alayhi salam said, I judge based off of what I hear. So a judge has to be able to do what? He has to be able to hear. He has to be able to see, in general. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here at the end of this verse, he is saying that he is the hearing and the seeing, and therefore because of that, he is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we see in those other ayat, Ibrahim, as we mentioned last week, what did Ibrahim say to his father? Ya abati lima ta'budu ma la wa? يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرْ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Why do you worship that which does not hear, does not see, and cannot benefit you at all? So that hearing and the seeing is an essential element of al-ilah al-haq, of the one that truly deserves to be worshipped. Now, Father Sheikh.
That would be a fantastic.
Shalom.
That would be a
Allah Azza wa Jalla yaqul laysa kamithlihi shay wa huwa as-sami' al-basir. We covered this last week as well, now.
There is nothing like unto him, similar to him, and he is the all-hearer, the all-seer.
Yes, al-basir, al-basir. Just so that we, because I forgot to mention, al-basir and basir, describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is mentioned in the Quran 42 times. It's mentioned in the Quran 42 times. Al-basir or basir. Yani, sometimes it's with the alif and the lam, and sometimes it's just basir. It's mentioned with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, As-Sami', how many times? We covered this last week. Ten times with As-Sami'. Five times with Khabir. What does Khabir mean? We covered this. Alim and Khabir, we covered. Huh? All aware. The one who was all aware. Okay? And when it's mentioned with Al-Alim, yani there's a subtle difference, and that's because Khabir oftentimes refers to what's going on inside, which may not be apparent to everyone. From khibra, experience. When you have experience, when you experience something, you have a lot more, let's say, knowledge of it than just simply knowing about something. You are an expert. Huh? Insight. Which is actually basir, basira, to have insight. And that khabir is similar. So al-basir is mentioned with khabir five times in the Quran. Fima wa khaftu alayh. I saw one of the scholars say that it was mentioned 10 times, but I didn't find that many times. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Nah. Yaqul Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'u al-basir. Nah, Shaykh.
High above every imperfection and need is he who took his servant by night from Al-Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Haram, to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, whose precincts, whose neighborhood, whose surroundings we have blessed, to show him of our signs. Indeed, he is the hearing, the seeing.
All right. This is actually the first place in the Quran where Basir is mentioned with the Aleph and the Lam. Okay? All of the times that precede Surah Al-Isra is mentioned Basiran or Basir. Alright, I think we're good, inshallah. Alright, so let's just look at this quickly, because it's going to come, Allahu Adam, it's going to come again, this ayah. I want you to kind of look at it right now and tell me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about this. What is this story known as? The Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. Okay, so the story of the night journey of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his ascension to the heavens. That to the people of Mecca was just absolutely unfathomable, right? I mean, just think about it. For us, it's not a big deal that somebody, you see somebody, for example, tomorrow, they're sitting in the masjid with you right now. You see them tomorrow at, let's just say, Dhuhr time. And they say, yeah, I was in Florida a few hours ago. You say, wow. You would say that was a quick trip, but you wouldn't say that's unfathomable, right? But for them, that was just simply unfathomable. What are you talking about? You went last night. You went to Masjid al-Aqsa. They knew Masjid al-Aqsa. And obviously the idea of going to the heavens was just too much for them. Okay. But when you look at this, maybe you would think at first glance, I mean, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing his qudra. I mean, that he is taking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa up to the heavens. لِنُورِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ لِنُورِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. What do you think the idea is here? Why is he saying he is the hearing and the seeing? It's pretty subtle. You understand the point? Like if he would have said, indeed he is Al-Aziz, Al-Qadir, you know, you wouldn't have to actually think too much about it. It would be pretty clear. Yeah. One second. Go ahead, Abdur. Okay. It could be, yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say, Sheikh?
No, I'm saying the same thing. That they don't know what Allah knows the future. So everything in the world, Allah hears what y'all are talking about.
So Allah hears what they're saying. Okay. Okay. So some of the scholars have said that this in fact, was to comfort the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. He heard the rejection of the prior to the Isra itself, that the Isra was actually a reward to the Prophet ﷺ for the rejection that the Prophet ﷺ faced from the people of Ta'if, from the rejection that the Prophet ﷺ faced from Quraysh. He heard all of that. He heard everything that they said. And he saw the difficulties that the Prophet ﷺ was going through. And you look at just a year before Isra and Miraj, or a year and some months, the Prophet ﷺ lost his wife, Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha. He lost his uncle, Abu Talib, who was the main supporter financially, even though he was a mushrik. He was the main supporter of the dawah, which is ajib. Anyway, so this is a comfort to the Prophet. He said, look, we hear what they're saying. We see that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see what you are going through, and this is a reward, because that Isra was what gave the Prophet ﷺ that thabat, gave him that strength to see what he saw. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is what gave him strength and pushed him along. And that is where the salat was made an obligation on the Muslims as a whole. And we know that salat is that ultimate relationship, that ultimate connection between the abd and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. ألم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبض ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير. نعم شيخ.
Have they not seen the birds above them spreading their wings and folding them in? None holds them except Ar-Rahman. Indeed, truly, without a doubt, He is this ever seer of all things.
And so why do you think here he mentions that he is basir? It could be several reasons, but anyway.
Is he alluding to the fact that he knows what the birds are doing?
Could be. Allahu alam, but it appears that Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Basir is letting us know, letting the creation know that he doesn't just know what's happening on the earth, that he also knows what's happening in the heavens. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. In any event, the point is, and again, as we've talked about on many occasions, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. We should ponder over its meanings and try to think about why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using this particular name here. That exercises ibadah. That pondering over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to think is ibadah. And if you don't know, you know, you go back to certain tafsir, you ask, you know, people around you who have knowledge, inshallah ta'ala, they will help open up those doors of understanding. Or it can be an exercise that you do together. Naam, Shaykh. Nah.
And so going back to the ayat of Isra, after he mentions that, wa atina Musa kitab.
Nah.
So he makes a reference
to Musa.
Who he said the same thing to when he fell
asleep. Asma'u wa ara. Nah. Innahu huwa as-sami' al-basir. Asma'u wa ara. Jazakallah khairan. Nah.
Like a salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen.
In thinking about that in its context, that okay, we are supposed to be the people who follow the Salaf.
Nah.
So in the reflection, I understand and get that point, but after we reflect and we come up with how we see it, then should we not go back to how the Salaf saw it and try to hold that idea.
Excellent. No, it's a great question, and I'll just repeat it. And the question is, in that exercise of pondering over the verses of the Quran, should we not try to understand the Quran in light of the way that the Salaf understood the Quran, and not just come up with our own, you know, interpretation? And that is absolutely correct. The issue here, though, is that there's a difference between understanding and pondering. And pondering is a level beyond understanding. So you should not ponder, and you cannot ponder over an ayah until you understand its meaning. And you cannot understand the meanings of the Quran beyond the Arabic language without looking at how that the Quran was explained by those who preceded us, especially, and there's a hierarchy, if you will. Part of the Quran explains other parts of the Quran, and there's a great tafsir written on that. It's called Adwa al-Bayan by Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the whole intention of that tafsir was to show how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained what he meant in other places in the Quran. And so that tafsir is absolutely amazing. And it's one of the only tafsirs that actually extracted that from earlier tafsirs to show where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained his own speech. The second tier after that, if you will, is explanation of the Quran with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So there are certain verses that the Sahaba came and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about, and he explained to them what those ayat meant. And if somebody comes now and they says, no, well, that's not really what it means, then they've gone against the explanation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. For those who are good doers, they will have good and that which is even more. They will have good and more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that. The good here is Jannah. More is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get some people come and say, no, well, we can't see Allah. Well, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that verse, we're done. All right? Then there are other verses as you go on. So, like Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, and whom I mentioned, some of the Quran can be explained. Matter of fact, a lot of the Quran can be understood just through the Arabic language. And then there are other ayat that are going to need explanation. So that's in terms of getting the meaning. The idea of pondering over the Quran, what the Quran means to you specifically in certain circumstances. You open up the Quran and subhanAllah, you read something that you read 20 times. But because of something you went through that day, it talked to you in a different way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that ayah was talking to you in a different way. That's a different exercise. That's what I was talking about here. And that's why the scholars of Islam mentioned that it would be impossible to find everything that you feel written down, because not all of the scholars have written down everything they felt about the Quran. Not all of the Salaf wrote down every single thing. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he talked about in the latter part of his life when he was in prison, he talked about how he wished that he had spent the entirety of his life just pondering over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so you look at the time that he did spend and what he did write and the fact that there was a lot more that he had in his head that he couldn't write down. So there's, you know. Nah, Sheikh.
Meaning, from the root bat soft ra, which points to the following main meanings. One, to see, behold, notice. Two, to understand, to know, to have insight, perceive.
In fact, Ibn Faris, rahimahullahu ta'ala, He said that al-ba was sad wa ra, which is what we talk about here, ba, sad, and ra, the root of this word. He says that these three letters are aslani, that they point to two different meanings, actually. The first, which is all we're dealing with here, because that's all that really concerns us, is al-ilmu bishay, knowledge of a certain thing. This is actually what basara means. Okay? Oh, basira. So it actually means to have knowledge of something. And so if you see here, on the right side of the screen, does anybody recognize that? I got that just for you guys. No, that's not Lane's. No, that's not Lane's. That's Handsworth. Yeah, yeah. Handsworth. Oh, Sheikh Anwar, you got it. We've tortured people with Handsworth, so they know it when they see it. So the first one, basira or basura and basara, to look or to see, to realize, to understand, to comprehend, to grasp, right? That's all there in the meaning. The second form of the verb is what? Basara, right? Yubassiru, tafsira. That's to make someone aware of something, to enlighten someone, to tell someone, to inform, right? And if you keep going down, you'll get to the fourth form, which is absara, to the end of it. So you can see, though, that it kind of goes around that idea of seeing, any sight, but it can also mean to perceive and to have insight about something. Now, Fadhil Sheikh.
Linguistically, that is...
By the way, for those of you who know Arabic, go back to see al-mufradat li al-Raghib al-Asfahani, and Basra, he did a tremendous job. Nah.
Linguistically, that is according to the subject of study of language itself. Basir is of the form fa'il,
which we've covered, right? Alim, khabir, sami', all of them fa'il. Nah.
Which is an intense, hyperbolic, or exaggerated form of basir.
Right, because normally the fa'il will come basir. Nah.
And basir refers to the perfection and the totality of Allah's sight, which cannot be compared with the sight of any other being or thing.
So we can't fully grasp Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the same way with any of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't really fully grasp that attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's basar, right? The fact that he is al-basir. But we do have a small idea because of our own ability to see. Yeah, I think it's your mic, Sheikh. Yeah, that's it. All right. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with sight, we can see the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. We can see the world and the things around us. But that sight is still limited. And that's why we started off with pictures of what? What do you remember? Okay, so let's start. Okay, you remember on the left side of the screen, what was there at the top? It was the X-ray. And that's because we can't see beyond obstacles. If there's an obstacle in the way, you can't see. So you can see up to a certain point and then it stops because something is in the way. So I can see, for example, I can see the ceiling here. But I can't see where the sisters are because there's an obstacle. It's beyond that. There's no obstacles for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is in front, what is behind. Okay. We also have issue with or limitation because of distance. So you can see up to a certain point and then beyond that point, you cannot, can't see. Can you see something beyond the sun? Allahu a'lam. All right. We also have issues, limitations in terms of direction. So you can see what's in front of you, but can you see what is behind you? No. you only have a certain range. You know, maybe, what's this? Maybe 180 degrees. Mumkin, your peripheral vision. There is an animal, however, that can see 320, 340 degrees. You know what it is? You eat it too. Especially on Eid al-Adha. Goat. Yeah. No. But the goat, because of the where the eye is, that you never see how they look. You ever see that? They can see 320 to 340 degrees. So they can almost see all around, but not quite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. And then there's the issue of our limitation of focus. So once you focus on one thing, everything else becomes out of focus. You're not able to see those things. Even if you can, you got an idea of what's going on, you can't see but so much once you begin to focus on things. That's why when you do an eye exam test, they make you focus on something because they want to see how your pupils dilate and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all of that simultaneously. He sees the small particles. There's galaxies. There's nothing that escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight. Naam, Sheikh.
Meaning of Al-Basir, number two. Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di. Did I get it right?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Said, Rahimullah, Al-Basir is the one who sees all things even if they are insignificant and minute. He sees the black ant on a black stone during a dark night. He sees what is below the seventh earth and what is above the seventh heaven. Also, he is hearing and seeing of those that deserve recompense, payback, in accordance to what his wisdom dictates.
And as some of the other scholars of Islam have mentioned, and he is the one who, with his insight, perceives all things. Al-Basir. Al-Basir also, as we talked about earlier, refers to having insight, which is why Al-Basirah is translated as what? Insight. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, this is my path. I call to Allah upon Al-Basira. I call to Allah with insight, with full knowledge, me and those who follow me. Now, Fadl Sheikh.
Benefits. Those who know that Allah is Al-Basir will, one, be confident that any difficulty they face will not go unnoticed.
Now, and that is similar to what we talked about with the ayah from Al-Isra, and also what we talked about last week with Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam, when they were scared to go to Fir'aun, and rightfully so because he was a tyrant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, La takhafa. Don't be scared, I am with you. And that would have been sufficient, honestly, I'm with you. But he emphasize that point by saying Asma'u wa ara. I hear you and I see. So when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, then there's then you know, for example, the difficulties that you face. Somebody did you an injustice. Somebody wronged you. You have no recourse in this life. There's nothing you can do about it. The cameras didn't catch it, whatever the situation may be. But you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw that person. You know that you are going to get what you deserve. And so whatever difficulties you may be dealing with, when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Basir, it creates a level of confidence. Now,
to those who know that Allah is Al-Basir will put their trust in Him alone.
And see, though we didn't cover it in some of the ayat that have preceded, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبَسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقَدِرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبَسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقَدِرُ. إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. And that actually comes in a similar ayah in another way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ, indeed your Lord gives an abundance to whom He wills, and He restricts provisions from whom He wills. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with His servants, or to His servants, all aware and all seeing, or ever seeing. Now here, al-basir, as the scholars of tafsir mention in some of these ayat, refers to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who to give His rizq to, and He knows who to withhold it from. He knows who will benefit from having and who will not benefit from having. And so once we understand that and we know that He is al-basir, we know that He sees what is beneficial for us and what isn't, then we are able to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ. Listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and put your trust in Al-Aziz Al-Rahim. Who is Al-Aziz? What does that mean, rather? The almighty, powerful.
Of which no force can stand.
Of which no force. Nothing can stand against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Rahim. So He is beneficent and He extends His mercy to His creation. Put your trust in Him. What? Alladhi yaraka heena taqum. The one who sees you. Look, we're going back to this concept here. Put your trust in Al-Aziz Al-Rahim because He sees you. Heena taqum. He sees you when you stand to pray and no one else is around. And He's going to reward you for that. وَتَقَلُّبُكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. And He also sees when you prostrate with those who prostrate. He sees that salat and He sees that salat. So put your trust in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what's best for you. He's going to reward you. He is deserving of your trust, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your reliance. Naam, Shaykh.
Be very shy. Those who know that Allah is al-basir will be very shy to commit sins, even in private.
Ah. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yes.
Because no matter, you know, many people are shy to commit sins in front of people that they respect. They're more cautious about what they say. They're more cautious about what they do because they're with someone that they respect. And they don't want to lose that respect. If that's the case, is there a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not seeing you? No, I mean, and that's why some of the scholars used to say, you know, raqibullah, yani be conscious of Allah the way that you would be around a rajul min salihi qawmik, yani a person from the righteous of your people. There was Al-Asma'i rahimahullah. He said that one time he went to the Kaaba and he came across a Bedouin. And so the Bedouin was telling him about you know, a story that happened to him in the past. And so he said to the Bedouin, what came between you and what you desired? And so the Bedouin said, well, the woman said to me, "Ala tastahi? Don't you have any shame?" He said, "Be ashamed from what?" He said, "I had taken her out to the desert." I don't know how many of you have been to the desert. You go out to the desert, it's nothing happening. So there's nothing else around. He says, I took her out to the desert. And I said, "Astahi min madha?" Be shy from what? لا يرانا إلا الكواكب. There's nothing that sees us except for the stars. I'm not going to worry about the stars. She said, فَأَيْنَ مُكَوْكِبُهَا. Where is the one that created the stars? لا يرانا. The point is that a person has to be shy from committing sins because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him and he hears him. He sees his heart. He sees the kibir in a person's heart. He sees all of that. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَصُورِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your figures and your shapes. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. But he looks to your hearts. He looks at your actions. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges you on. So a person really, As-Sami' al-Basir are two of the most important names that help a person who really understands them reach the level of muraqabah. Al-muraqabah is to be a heightened consciousness and awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And there's just certain things that a person won't do. I mean, even Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wouldn't even undress totally in front of himself because of his hayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying that a person has to go to that level, but what I'm saying is we do have to be conscious. Like, just recognize that there are things that you wouldn't do in front of other people, and therefore know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you and behave a certain kind of way. You don't even pick your nose in front of certain people, right? No, seriously. I mean, they say, don't ask me why. I actually read a study about that. And anyway, they were saying, so most people pick their nose in the car because they think nobody else can see them. Well, just take some tissues with you. And what I'm saying is, if you create, and it's not say it's haram or whatever, but the point is that create a certain type of consciousness. You want to be a certain way in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I'm sure. Yeah. No, that's what I was talking about with Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. But now, Fadl Sheikh. Fadl.
There's a dua.
At the end, inshallah. We'll never finish. Okay. We'll never finish. Allah will
strive to be more. The other thing, those who know that Allah is al-Basir will strive to be more devoted in worship. It's sad.
This, wallahi, would take a very long time to discuss. But just think about how the Prophet ﷺ himself defined ihsan. When Jibril ﷺ came to him and he asked him, what is Islam? What is Iman? What is ihsan? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. To worship Allah as if you see him. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَىٰ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That's the level of ihsan. If you don't see him, and you won't see him in this life, then know that he sees you. When you can get to that level, then you will reach the level of ihsan. And that's it's a very high station to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that he sees you. And so when you stand in prayer, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Don't just think about the bad things. No, think about your worship. How are you going to perfect your worship now that you know? See, if it was your boss, looking at you do your job, don't you do a little better? Turn it up. There you go. You turn it up. Right. When you stand in prayer and you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. I mean, we all know, like we know. But do you really know? Right? Do you feel it? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And the reason why this is important is because when you get to level of ihsan, there will be no such thing as riya. There will be nothing but ikhlas. What is riya? Showing off, meaning you are conscious that someone else is watching you. And you want to do what? Impress them. When you get to the level where you just want to impress your creator, you don't care who else is looking. You really don't. You can't. You can't, because you know that he is al-basir. And you know that he is the one that gave everyone else their basar. SubhanAllah. Like I said, that topic right there, just that one point, to strive to be more devoted in worship, knowing that Allah is al-basir, pushes us for this one. That's enough. All of these other points are very important. But that point right there, we should take that. I'm telling you, that is the takeaway. That now when you worship, when you give zakat, when you fast in Ramadan, when you make hajj, you are conscious that Allah is al-basir and you want to turn it up. You want it to be right. You want it to be perfect, which is another name, because ihsan means what? It is that excellence in worship. So you want to excel. You want your worship to be perfect. You want it to be excellent. Because you know that Allah is al-basir. Naam, Shaykh.
This is major. Like, where do that put us at in our time? If we offer the salat, are we really praying to Allah? If we're not on that level?
Yeah, even if you're not on that level, you're still praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we got to strive. There's darajat. Not every believer is a muhsin. Not every believer has reached the level of ihsan in all of their ibadah. Now, there's going to be certain parts where they may have ihsan. And not every Muslim is a mu'min. So also, قال الأعراب آمنا. The Bedouins, they said, we have iman. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. Say, you haven't believed yet, but say, we have accepted Islam. أسلمنا. Not every Muslim is a mu'min, and not every mu'min is a muhsin. And those are levels that we strive for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the muhsineen.
Therefore, those who know that Allah is al-basir will fulfill their responsibilities with proficiency, excellence based on experience and practice.
MashaAllah. I'm done. So if you look at the one above, which says strive to be more devoted in worship, here we're talking about acts of ibadah, ritual acts of ibadah. Those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated as ibadah. The second one is talking about fulfilling responsibilities with proficiency. A Muslim does his job well. This is the point here. It doesn't, and your job, if you make it ibadah, it becomes ibadah, but it's not a ritual act of ibadah. All right? So that means that whatever you do, like at your job, or even if you work for yourself, but you are doing job, you've been hired to do something, you are going to do it well as if that person who hired you, who's paying you, is looking at you the whole time, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for Rabbul Alameen. Fulfill your responsibilities. This goes for the children as well. Children have chores around the house. They know that they can get away. I ain't got to sweep that. Nobody's going to notice. If I mop this part, but I don't mop the other part, as long as they see a little water there, fulfill. These are your responsibilities. Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-basir. He's the one. Don't do it for your mom and dad. Don't do it for your wife. Don't do it for your husband. Do it for al-basir, because he's watching and he knows and he sees. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the idea of fulfilling those responsibilities that you have with proficiency, as it comes in the hadith, in Allah yuhibbu idha amila ahadukum amalan and yutqinahu when kana fihi shay'un min ad-da'f. That there's a hadith, there's some weakness in it, but But the meaning is sahih, and there are other hadith that support it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that when one of you does an action, that he does it well, that he does it proficiently. Naam, Shaykh.
Those who know that Allah is al-Basir will teach their children the meanings of this name.
And that is so important. Many of us, we know a lot more about our children than they think we know about them. We know a lot more about them than they think we know about them. And we let stuff slide. But then when we hold them to account, then they start thinking that we know everything, and we can't let them do that. Because you don't want your children to believe that you are al-Basir, al-Sami', al-Alim. Because then when you're not around, to be honest with you, at some point in life, they're going to figure out that you don't know. They're going to smoke a cigarette somewhere. And they're gonna come home, and you're not going to have any idea. And they know that if you knew it was that bad, that it would be something. And so they start to figure out that you don't really know everything. But if you ingrain and instill in them the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and He sees, and that's sufficient for you, and you don't have to know everything, then they will be bi-idhnillah, then they will grow up righteous. They will grow up with a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now,
if we know that Allah is al-Basir, this will increase in having good assumptions.
Those who know now that Allah will increase in having good assumptions of their brethren. In other words, when you see certain things, you now are the one who is seeing. You will put the best possible construction on that. You'll put the best interpretation on that. Because, and here's the reason, Wallahu a'lam. Think about that man who got the phone call and said, your brother, you got to get him, man. He's falling off again. Saw him walk into the bar. You calling him, he's not answering your phone call. You go into the bar to get your brother out. You're trying to get him, he's like, nah. So you walk out the bar by yourself. Brother's driving down the street, sees you walking out the bar. Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-Basir. He knows why you went in. He saw you go in, he saw you come out, he knows why. And then somebody else saw you as well. Somebody else saw something that just put the best possible construction on it. It doesn't mean that we become gullible fools. No. But at the same time, the same way that we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and He's seen all that we have done, and we know that there's some things that were okay, some things that weren't okay, some things that could be misinterpreted by others, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intentions and knows what's in your heart, you're not held accountable for that. Then you likewise need to have husn al-dhan bi ikhwanik. Try to have good thoughts about your brother, even if you see something that seems a little bit off. You want to talk to him about it on the side or whatever, that's fine. But put the best possible construction on what you can. Now.
Lastly?
Not lastly. Lastly on this page. Benefits one. But we are coming to a conclusion. Now,
those who know that Allah is al-Basir will not be absent from where Allah has commanded them to be.
So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you, Ya ayyuhalladhina aminu dhanudiya lis-salati min yawm al-jum'ati fas'u ila dhikrillahi wa dharul bay'. Oh, you believe, when the adhan for Jumu'ah has called, then race to the remembrance of your Lord and leave off buying and selling. You won't stay at work until you know, try to figure out what time is the Iqamah going to be. How can I just make sure I catch one rak'ah so I don't miss Jumu'ah? You know how many people come late on Jumu'ah? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Because... I don't get that much time off of work. You didn't even try to get that much time off of work. You don't really want them to know you're Muslim. And you just take a lunch break. A long lunch break on Friday. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to see you in the masjid. Wainak, where are you? At work? Those who believe that Allah is al-Basir, they're not going to be absent. See, a lot of times you think about where you are. Now, what about where you're not? Don't be absent from the places that Allah should be seeing you. Wallahu musta'an. And Jumu'ah is just an example, but there are many others now.
Benefits too. Those who know that Allah is al-Basir will dress in a manner that pleases Allah.
Allah Azza wa Jal yuhibbu, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, and yara athara ni'matihi alayh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see the effects of His blessings on His servant. If Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you, then show it. It's not, we can't always be afraid of the ayn and this person's gonna, he's gonna be jealous, he's gonna be envious, and so I'm not gonna. No. Allah Azza wa Jal blessed you with something. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see the effects of that blessing upon you. Don't let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see you wearing that which is displeasing to Him. Don't let other people see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to cover. All of that comes under knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir. Now, Shaykh. Now you can say.
Now, for the last point. Those who know that Allah is al-basir will show gratitude to Allah for their sight.
Tay, how do you show gratitude to Allah for the blessing of sight? Wallahi, it's a blessing. The Prophet ﷺ referred to it, to these two eyes, as al-habibatan, the two beloved ones. You would give up a whole lot before you would give up your sight. You would give up a whole lot before you gave up one eye, which would not take away your sight. The one who's patient with the loss of the habibatain. Falahul jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests somebody with that, and they're patient with that test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them jannah. So how do you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your sight? Man, fadl Shaykh.
By using them for pondering His greatness.
Okay. By using them for pondering His greatness. Surah Al-Ghashiyah at the end. Afala yanzuruna ila al-ibli kayfa khuliqat. Do they not look at the camel, how it was created? That's what you need to be using your eyes for. I'm not saying you have to go look at a camel, but I'm saying you should be using your eyes in that way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. فَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Look at the heavens and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. Look at the mountains and how they are fastened. Ponder. In other words, look and ponder. Look and ponder. Look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, man, subhanAllah, a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset. I mean, just look at that and think about the azama, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness. This is what you should be using your eyes for. Now, and
other beneficial acts.
Like reading the Quran. Reading beneficial books. I mean, other beneficial things that you can do with your eyes. Now.
And avoiding looking at that which displeases Allah.
And as I've heard some of my own mashayikh mention, that this is fitna til asr. Yani the trial, the tribulation, the temptation of contemporary times. Looking at what is haram. Because it's just become so easy. Whereas in the past, it just wasn't like that. It wasn't like you might have to go buy a painting or something. Now, person opens up the internet, type in a few words. Don't type in a few words. You don't have ad block. Stuff is coming up from stuff you don't even know where it's coming from. As a matter of fact, was it Arizona? A few days ago, they trying to pass legislation to declare pornography as a public health crisis. So, I mean, the reality is that a Muslim, wallahi, it should be inconceivable. It really should be. That a Muslim who truly believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who truly believes that Allah is al-Basir, it should be inconceivable. Unfortunately, according to internet statistics, some of the countries with the most viewing of what is haram to look at, it's Muslim countries. Say Pakistan is number one. Wallahu musta'an. Wallahu musta'an. That the idea of ingraining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our children is so important. It's so important. Because if they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know Allah azza wa jal, they hope in His reward, they fear His punishment, bi'idhnillah, that's going to protect them. That's going to protect them. Otherwise, there's absolutely nothing to stop it. Nothing. It's literally in their hands. And you can't be there all the time. And you have to fear Allah yourself. Know that whatever you think you're hiding, you're not hiding it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jabir, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about nadhar al-fujaa. Yani, the unexpected glance. You saw something unexpectedly. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amara bi sarf al-basar. And he commanded that one turn his head. So if you see something, if you catch, see, because the problem for a lot of people is that they want to see it. So they saw it, it caught their eye, now they want to see it. That's where the fitna comes in. If you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, and you know that nobody leaves off anything for the sake of Allah except that Allah will replace it with that which is better, then you're going to want what Allah is going to replace it with, and you leave it off for Allah. You know, so this is important. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there was the issue about looking at those things which are impermissible, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَإِنَّ الْأُولَى لَكَ وَفَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَتْ لَكَ الْآخِرَةَ." Yani, for you is the first, but the last one is not. Yani, in other words, if a person happens to see something out the corner of their eye, or something popped up on their screen that was unexpected, whatever, turn away. Don't let that become your fitna, because that nadhara, that first glance, if you allow it to loom, you know what it's going to become? It's like a thought. It's like a thought, right? If you don't get that thought out of your head, it's going to become an idea, and that idea is going to become a desire. That desire is going to become an intention, and you're going to be determined to do something about it. And all you had to do was do what? Get it out from the beginning. Don't let it penetrate. Nah, man.
What about, like, for some of us that's going to college or school or whatever, the instructor, as a woman, you know, the women, because some of them, they know they come in.
Allah Mustafa. No, I wouldn't recommend you fail the class, not intentionally. The issue of, man, where do we start? Allah musta'an. That needs its own talk. Ahkam al-Fasi, rahimahullah, has a 300-page book called Ahkam al-Nadhar, the rulings related to looking. We're not going to be able to cover 300 pages in this amount of time. Because it also goes for the women, and that's what we don't talk about a lot. Women, just like the men, have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lower their gaze. Same way Instagram and television, all this, and guys with their chests and six packs and all that other craziness. And then the woman has this ideal man in her mind, and when her husband is not that, it's a problem. The same thing with the brothers, because you fall in love with a photoshopped fake woman, and when your wife doesn't meet those standards, then it becomes it. But it's all because of what? Because you're looking. It's all because you're looking at that which you shouldn't look at. We got to stop. The issue of college. Basically, for a lot of people, you can pick who your teachers are. If it's in your interest as a male to have a male teacher, it's in your interest as a female to have a female teacher as much as possible. If you cannot control that, and it gets to a point where this is the class you have to take at this specific time, and that's the teacher that you have to take, then there are certain precautions that you need to be taking in the classroom in order to avoid fitna as a whole, because it's not just the teacher. It's the mixed environment as a whole that you have to try to, limit your exposure to. Wallahu a'lam. We're going to take this last. We're going to do this together. I was going to make you work with a partner, but because of the time, we're just going to do this together, inshallah. And then we'll be done. Bidnillah. All right. Work with a partner. Here, basically, what we've covered or what we've kind of looked at from the ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that He is Basir or Al-Basir in the Quran with the following three main objectives, if you will. There's Targhib. Does anybody know what that means? Yuraghibu, Targhiban. What's that? So an encouragement to do what? What do you think here? Right, an encouragement to do good, an encouragement to perfect your worship, and encourage those type of ideas. We can also lump with that to comfort, okay? To give you that idea, to give you that idea that you should put your trust in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, those type of things. Tarheeb. To frighten you, to scare you, to make you fear Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then istihqaq, which here means that He is deserving of, and meaning deserving of your worship. Okay? So these are the three main, these are three of the objectives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning that He is the all-seer or the seer. So let's look at number one. Read that, Shaykh.
How many generations have we destroyed since Noah's time? Sufficient is your Lord as knower and seer of His servants' sins.
So, which one do you think this is altogether? Tarheeb. Tarheeb. To frighten you. Why? And where do we get that from? Well, not just that He destroyed. Look at the last part. He is the seer of what? Of the sins. He's letting you know that when you disobey Him, He sees you. So he's telling you to be frightened. Now,
Allah judges with justice, while those whom they invoke besides Him cannot judge with anything. It is Allah who is the hearing, the seeing.
Which one do you think that is? Istihqaq. That He is the only one deserving of ibadah because He is the hearing and the seeing. Now,
and we have made some of you a test for others. Will you have patience? And your Lord is ever seeing.
I think it's both. I think it's Targhib and Tarheeb. And if you look at I think Tafsir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, but maybe some of the other Mufassireen, they mentioned that He sees those of you who are patient. And so this is encouragement for us to be patient with one another, those who are testing your patience, right? It's an encouragement. And if you are, know that Allah sees that. He sees that you've restrained, that you've had restraint, that you've exercised sabr. And He is all seeing of those who do not have patience, who are disobedient to Him, who blow, who do not have that patience. Naam, Shaykh, follow.
And establish prayer and give zakat whatever good you put forward for yourselves, you will find it with Allah. He sees everything you do.
Huh. Targhib. Targhib. He's encouraging us to do acts of ibadah because he's going to see it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
If Allah were to increase the provision to his servants, they would transgress. They would do bad things on earth. But he sends down whatever he wills in perfect measure. He is truly all aware, all seeing of his servants.
Mm-hmm. I think istihqaq is definitely, you can make an argument for that, that he's the only one deserving of being worshipped because of what he mentioned earlier. I also think that there's a case that you can make for targhib. Because here this ayah is encouraging us to put our tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Because he sends down what he sends down in perfect measure. He knows what's good for us. And so we should put our reliance and trust upon him. Now,
for those who are righteous, with their Lord are gardens beneath which rivers flow, where they will remain forever, and purified spouses with approval from Allah, and Allah is the seer of his servants.
Now, what do you think there? I think that's targhib as well, and an encouragement to increase in that worship. Now,
exalted is he who took his servant by night from the Masjid al-Haram to the Masjid al-Aqsa, whose precincts we have blessed to show him of our signs. Indeed, he is the hearing, the seeing.
I think you can make a case for all of them. All right. Bismillah. All right. Dua based on this divine name. I'm going to mention this very quickly. In the first one, which is the Hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, it has various narrations. And one of the narrations, and it's probably one of the more famous ones, is that the Prophet ﷺ said this as he was going to Salat. As he was going to Salat. And that's in Sahih Muslim and Bukhari. It doesn't mention that. There's a long story about where this dua should exactly be said, but it is definitely, was definitely from the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura wa fi lisani nura wa ja'al fi sam'i nura wa ja'al fi basari nura. وَجَعَلْ فِي خَلْفِ نُورًا وَمِنْ أَمَامِ نُورًا وَجَعَلْ مِنْ فَوْقِ نُورًا وَمِنْ تَحْتِ نُورًا اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِنِي نُورًا. You should memorize this dua. It's beautiful. Oh Allah, place light in my heart, light in my tongue, place light in my hearing, place light in my eyesight, place light in my sight. Place light behind me and light in front of me and place light above me and light below me. Oh Allah, grant me light because you can't see in the dark. You need that light. That light is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there's a long dua. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that this dua was the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa used to make often when he was with his companions, that they wouldn't leave each other until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa made dua for them. And it starts off, a lot of you probably have heard this dua in Tarawih, in the Qunut, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we say Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma yahulu bihi ma yahulu bi ma yahulu baynana wa bayna ma'asik wa min ta'atika ma tuballighana bihi jannatak. To the end of the dua, wa matti'na bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwwatina ma ahyaytana. Oh Allah, grant us the enjoyment of our hearing, our sight, and our strength as long as you keep us alive. So that part of the dua, wa matti'na بِأَسْمَعِنَا وَأَبُصَارِنَا وَقُوَّتِنَا مَا أَحْيَيْتَنَا. All right. Questions for lesson 6. How many times the name Basir been mentioned in the Quran? 42. What is the relationship between Allah's name Al-Basir and the level of Ihsan? What is the level of Ihsan? To worship Allah as if you see him, but if you don't, then you know that he sees you. He sees you. Al-Basir. You know that he is Al-Basir. Knowing that Allah is Al-Basir is the path towards reaching that level of Ihsan. How can we thank Allah for giving us sight? To use that sight in obedience to him. To ponder over his signs. To ponder over his magnificence. To read the Quran. Acts that are beneficial. And to avoid what? That is how you show gratitude, by using it, using what he has given you in a permissible way, in a way that's pleasing to him, and avoiding using it in a manner that is displeasing to him. Do those who intentionally look at impermissible things get one look? If it's intentional, they don't get one look. If it's intentional, They don't get one look. If it's unintentional, that first look is okay. It's not something that they held accountable for. Name three objectives for which the name Al-Basir has been mentioned in the Quran. Targhibun wa tarhibun wa istihqaq al-ibadah. All right. So in other words, an encouragement to worship him, a discouragement of being disobedient to him to make you scared of that, and to emphasize that he is the only one that has the right to be worshipped. Hadha wallahu a'lam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Jazakallahu khairan.